You are now turned in to the dopest college radio station, UCM The Beat. Keep it locked. UCM The Beat.
This is Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with Nathaniel Sullins, a studio art major who also does illustrations for the Mule Skinner. We talk about how they got involved with the Mule Skinner, their love for mascots, and their plans for the future.
Hello, everyone. This is Voices of UCM. I'm your host, Andrew Zellner, and today I am sitting down with Nathaniel Sullins. He's a studio art major here at UCM. How are you doing today, Nate?
Oh, man. I'm kind of freaking out a little bit, but honestly, I'm doing really well right now. It's a little chilly out. Honestly, it's kind of nice, but honestly, I'm doing really well.
Yeah. What's freaking you out, I guess, if you don't mind?
Oh, like, being in here, like, I haven't done, like, a podcast set or, like, a radio show set in, Lord knows how long. It's probably since about, like, I would say about 2017, 2018 since I last done one. Man. So, like, being kind of, like, back in this kind of, like, setting, it's really nice, but also I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do here?
Yeah. No worries. It shouldn't be too stressful a situation. So have you done something like this in the past, like done like similar interviews?
Something similar. It was really awkward at first because I didn't know what exactly what I was expecting, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, is this going to be more formal? So I went full formal on it without even realizing. And the whole interview lasted like a max like 10 minutes.
Oh.
And it was just over. And after I was like, oh, what was I thinking about it? But like, honestly, being in kind of like this kind of setting and like now knowing what exactly I'm supposed to do now, I'm like, okay, I have a plan. I'm not going to be so formal. I'm not, like, dressed to the tens. I'm literally just wearing a Breakfast Club shirt, which is a bunch of, like, Kellogg mascots. So.
I mean, like, yeah. If that helps, then I'm glad to that it makes it you feel a bit more comfortable now.
It's so much better.
I'm sure. So let's go ahead and start out. How did you get into, like, the illustration field?
Oh, man. I've done all sorts of kind of, like, illustration stuff for my whole entire life. I've really gotten into kind of like that whole like art scene like ever since I was like a little kid, probably since like elementary school around there. Probably like the oldest thing I have when it comes to it was like, it's like these like little, you know, remember like the little manila folders that you would have? It's like those folder like opens up and you like store all your papers and whatnot.
Yeah, those like those
kind
of folders.
I had those. I had like two of them. It was like from fourth or fifth grade and they're just drawn like covered in these little doodles of like little stick people logos and whatnot, and like these little stories going on. It's like it's covered from the front, back, and also the inside. It's just decked out, just covered. And then ever since I just kind of like drew more, and then like kind of like around high school I kind of like started getting like a little bit more of a footing of what I wanted to do, and like and around I think 2015 when I was a freshman year, we got our iPads, and so I got, it was like some Adobe, like, kind of like Adobe app that you draw.
It was probably like Illustrator or something.
It was something similar. It was like an older version. It wasn't even called Illustrator yet. And I just started using the iPad there. Don't ask me how it looks. It looked absolutely rancid. It looked awful. So.
Well, y'all gotta start somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this, but every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, don't look at that. I don't want to see that. But honestly, I've started pretty much ever since I was a kid, and I've just gotten much better and become a lot more experimental as of late. So
How what kind of experimental type vibe you're going for?
Well, definitely the latest project I've done. It was one of my classes. Shout out Mark Ferris of Drawing 3 and Printmaking. It was we were doing a portrait, and I did one of the big inspirations that I had as a kid. I watched a lot of like shows like Chowder, Flapjack, and all those from like kind of like early 2010s era. And I just love like kind of like the material, like different materials that they used and patterns, especially like in Flapjack and Chowder. But I used to watch Flapjack a little bit more. And the creator, Thurt von Orman, he just made this really unique setting, and I always had inspiration to make something like that. So getting that opportunity to make something like and try to mimic his style, which I used what was it, like acrylic water wash, I torn paper, and then I used clay to make the candied island and the digital part and compiled it all together in Photoshop. It was like, I saw it like for the first time getting it printed out, and I was like, this is the most awesome thing I've ever made. I'm so proud of this. My classmates and my friends, they were like, you are like a proud mother right now. You are constantly talking about your piece and like constantly taking photos of the thing. Like, back off. I'm like, no, I love it. It's my thing. I need to put it on the fridge.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you can take, there's a lot of pride here in your work, yeah. It sounds like.
Oh my goodness. It's just, I've gotten, like, just looking at it, I remember back then I did not want to show anybody. I was just like, I don't need anybody to know about this. Uh-huh. This is my only thing. But as more, I'm like, I gotta show everybody. I have to show the world. It's so great.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you've been able to like develop your skills and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And get more confident in your work. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm like, I'm kind of in that stage of like, I don't know if I want to show anyone my old stuff.
But. And like, yeah, that's completely fine. But yeah, as time goes more on, like, you want to show more of that.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you, because like I said earlier, like, I was exactly like that. But like, like, it doesn't hurt. Like, what's the worst somebody's going to say? It's like, oh, this is terrible. It's like, but like, when someone says that, for me at least, I'm like, I'm going to prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to prove you wrong. Because I don't know why, but I like kind of like that screw you behavior where it's like, if you say something bad about me or like, you're like, oh, I don't really like this, I'm going to be like, kind of like in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, I see how it is.
I'll make you like that.
Yeah, I'll make you like it. I'm going to work my absolute butt off. I'm going to make you like it. I'm going to put it right in front of you. I'm like it, like it.
Yeah. That's where I'd like to be at some point with my heart and stuff.
I honestly believe you. I think you got it.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come up eventually. It's just we got to get to that point.
Oh, you know? Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it sounds like you're very much enjoying the major.
Oh, yeah. It is absolutely awesome. And honestly, because I remember starting here, it was very slow and kind of like that. And then I took a break kind of like during the spring. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't here for the spring. So I kind of like... It's kind of weird because the second I got back in for the fall, a lot of my friends were like, where have you been? Like, you've been all gone. And, like, you literally just disappeared. And the second I told them, like, oh, I took the semester off, they're like, oh, I forgot. And they're all, like, kind of like, oh, well, welcome back. It's like, yep, it's almost like I never left in the first place for them.
That's kind of funny how you just take a break and everyone thought you just
left
or something.
Yeah, and a lot of people I remember there's this whole like stipulation where it's like once you leave for the semester you're never gonna come back, but
that's not true necessarily.
Yeah, no, because I was like I'm just gonna take a semester off and I'm gonna come back head first. Mm-hmm. And look at me now, like I'm so much better than I was back in fall of 22, and I'm doing so much more and it's going by like so well. And honestly, I'm having a blast. It is awesome.
I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
Things are going well. And I think that's interesting how there is that stigma around you leave for a semester and like, oh, where'd you go? I guess they quit college. I really feel like a lot of times people just need a break, you know, especially from something that can be as stressful as college.
Yeah, and especially like kind of like you're doing like 12 plus years of like high school and then you're going right into college. You have break in between to kind of like relax and like figure out what you exactly want to do. Mm-hmm. And so I spent kind of like my first 2-3 years at State Fair, which I'm really glad that I'm not there anymore. I mean, there's benefits to State Fair, but as an ex-student from there, transfer, I did not have a great time there. But honestly, after that, I'm like, I just need to take a break, take a step from everything, focus on what I need to do and what I want to focus on. And then honestly, it has really helped out a lot because I think during that summer, I just kind of like just drew, and then also work, boring.
But you got to do it though.
Yeah, I guess I got to do that. And I still have to at some point. Mm. But I'm ready to move on and start working on what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But right now, I just got to suffer through, I guess. But honestly, if you were kind of like, if you are a student and you feel like you need to take a break from everything and like kind of recoup on like what you want to do, it doesn't hurt. And Like, legit, like, you will get that energy back. Because I remember, like, during that spring and going into the summer, I was like, I am so ready to get back in there because I kind of know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to kind of, like, start hitting out. And I'm like, because I didn't do anything, like, my first semester at UCM. Mm-hmm. And then now back, coming back, like, I'm part of the Mule Skinner, which we'll get to that shortly. I'm part of the Mule Skinner. I've got invited to be into a parade for up into the, go see the homecoming game up in the press box, which is awesome. Oh, yeah. Dude, oh my, it's such an experience to be up there that high up and then onto the field itself. Because you can see the
entire field.
Yeah, and then you're down on that field so you get to see action like right up close, even closer to the people like who are right up to the front of the stands.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's so, it's crazy. And during that whole time, I was kind of, because you're not supposed to wear like school colors when you're doing media stuff and like that. So being down there, I kind of felt like a little bit of an odd one out. And I was like, seeing everybody around wearing all red, I'm like, am I supposed to be wearing UCM stuff or no? Yeah. But honestly, I had a blast, but I'm kind of throwing off a tangent here. But like, it doesn't hurt to like just take a break from everything and then come right back in. Like, it's understandable if you need to take a semester or two off, but it's so easy to get back into it anyway. Because legit, they're just like, oh, if you want to come back in, like, legit, you just sign back in and just reinstate. So, and you're completely fine.
Because basically all it is just like, oh, I'm just not taking any classes for this semester. And then, yeah, you can just come right back. It's not like there's anything prohibiting you from coming back. It's not like, you have to be here, have to have your four-year plan all planned out, ready to go.
Yeah, legit. And it's like, that's such a huge stigma that I think a lot of students are kind of like worried about, is because they're like, oh man, I have to get everything all ready. And if I leave, I'm going to completely fail. That's not true. Look at me. I mean, I don't want to be egotistical. It's just setting an example of, like, just how important, like, your own kind of, like, self can be. And, like, you need to focus on kind of, like, your mental health before you need to kind of, like, start honing in onto, like, what you need to do for your adult life until you're 6 feet under.
I guess that's a way to put it, yeah. That is, yeah. Just, like, because, I mean, like, a lot of people, like, in just in general, not necessarily here at UCM, but, like, a lot of people coming out of high school, they don't really know what they want to do. And so I feel like a lot of people are also pressured just to go right into college without knowing what to do. So I think having that break period in between, whether it's after you're done, like, doing, like, I don't know, like, your core math, science, reading, whatever it might be, and then you have a break to understand, all right, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? You have a lot more time to consider that while also not having to balance school, work, whatever else you're doing.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, I just had a brain fart. Oh, my goodness.
No problem.
I did that. I had a brain fart on a radio show. Man, I am such a bad visitor.
No problem. Not a problem.
But no, it's like, it's like such a weird thing. And it's like, but honestly, you'll always come first, always. And I still know, there's plenty of people that I know that are like, I have no clue what I do. But honestly, it'll come to you. Just take your time with it and just enjoy your kind of like, either if you're still taking classes, enjoy what you got to do, find what you like, and then just kind of roll with it. Yeah. And if you like, if you don't like, you can always change to a different thing and try something new.
All right. Well, we can go ahead. We're going to go ahead and transition over to Mule Skinner stuff. So how did you initially get involved with the Mule Skinner?
I remember I first heard of Mule Skinner because my brother, he did Mule Skinner for, I think, about the fall to spring right before he graduated.
Oh, okay.
So I remember seeing his stuff on the paper, and I was like, that is so cool. I would love to do something like that. And then eventually they put his, I think it was like the squirrels. It was like a squirrels comic, or it was like the Redbaggers.
Oh, right.
But they're like all squirrels. They put his comic into like a submission for like national like thing.
Oh, yeah.
Got second place nationally. I was like, I want to do something like that, and I want to kind of like get that recognition as well.
Yeah.
And like, I just kind of like showed up to the newsprint office up there like on the first day.
Yeah.
And they would not be quiet about like my brother, and they're constantly like talking about my brother. But I think ever since we released our first issue, which was because I did the Barbenheimer piece and the freshman piece. I did those two pieces.
Mm-hmm. Did you? Was it a writing or specifically, or just the illustration?
It was just the illustration. Okay. I cannot write for anything. I'm not the best when it comes to writing. I have really good eyes, even though I wear contacts, and I have really bad eyesight. But I guess I have a more keen eye to like drawing rather than writing, because mm-hmm. sometimes my brain is just like constantly going.
Yeah.
And I can't get a single thought out. But mm-hmm. yeah, I did mostly the illustrations, and hearing that people were cutting out the images and like frame, like hanging them up on their walls,
fridges,
and whatnot. Yeah. I was like, this is my moment.
I was gonna say, I imagine that. Yeah. I imagine that feeling probably feels pretty cathartic, because yeah. all like, your work leading up to that point, it's like, oh, people are
finally recognizing
seeing
it.
My work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's like just see as like I would never expect something like that at all, and I was kind of like, wow. That's literally, like, I had, like, no, like, crazy reaction. I was just like, wow, I made it in some way. This is, like, a first step to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, just being invited to everything else with Mule Skinner. It's a really fun experience to have. Like, even if you're a writer or, like, an illustrator. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, though, like, if you have some free time or, like, something like that, extra time, if you just want to help out with something or, like, submit something in, come to the Mule Skinner. It's really fun. I'm just saying. I'm totally not trying to drag some people away from their other things and doing only Mule Skinner.
Got to do a little bit of recruitment.
Yeah. Oh man. Especially some of my illustrator friends when they saw my stuff on the newspaper, and I was saying like, legit, if you want to come in and like help out with like some of the issues, like that'll be great, because they, after that first issue, they're like, we need to lock them in. We need to lock them in. They cannot go away.
They cannot go anywhere else.
Like they, it's like I'm like a cash cow to them. Mm. I'm kind of like the second coming of my brother.
So it sounds like it's been a very, very good experience working for the Mule Skinner.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, it could be very like hardworking and like stressful at points. Yeah, absolutely. Like I couldn't get everything done for the second issue just because of all homecoming stuff, and like I got my art stuff coming up, and then like sophomore review, sophomore review, but I'm a considered junior, but
it's probably more of a program thing. You've been in the program for 2 years or something like that.
I'm a transfer, so they always have it all wonky and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Just silly, just being silly. But yeah, all that, but I at least got some stuff in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, honestly, overall experience, absolutely phenomenal. Like if you want to go into writing or like creative writing for like stories or like just op-eds or like illustration, and like just get your foot in the door for something kind of like that, or just like opportunities like for any recruiters to like see your work and whatnot, Mule Skinner or like any student newspaper is so good at that.
Right.
It's so good. Or just like here at the Beat, like any form of media, like if you want to do something like that, it's so cool to get that experience.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm very grateful to have this experience, and especially since it's technically a paid job. So, it's very nice to be able to actually work in a job that I'm passionate about. I care about what I'm doing, and that it will actually affect my future career. Yeah, so,
right, it's like you're having a blast with this, and like, I mean, you probably have countless numbers of episodes of doing this, and like,
quite a few.
And like each time when it's like broadcasted out, it's like, you could tell that you're having such a blast with it. You're having so much fun with it. It is amazing. It's like, I want to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Yay! We'll be right back with more Voices of UCM, brought to you by Rise Community Services.
That's the sound of a door slamming in your face. That's the sound heard by many individuals living with a disability. But it doesn't have to be. Rise Community Services is committed to opening doors, not closing them. We believe that each person deserves a life that is full of hope and empowered by self-choice. If you or a loved one need help, please visit watchusrise.org.
See you. Know someone who's being bullied online? Send the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more about the witness emoji at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voices of UCM, brought to you by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with Nathaniel Solins, a studio art major who also does illustrations for the Mule Skinner. We continue our talk about their work in illustration and their love for mascots.
So yeah, you're saying there are there some challenges with the Mule Skinners, like trying to figure out like where to balance like your time?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Oh my. Yeah, like especially with like kind of like my sophomore review and like all the other art projects I get to do, especially the sophomore review, that threw a whole wrench into everything on my whole scheduling. Because I remember, yeah, with the first meeting that we had with that, I remember sitting there, I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to have to juggle like 20 things at once with this. Somehow I got through it, I guess, in some way. It's an attempt. There was an attempt there.
I mean, like, if you get through the first bit, then that means you can probably survive the other ones.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, yeah, because it was much shorter compared to the first issue, because we had, like, that whole extra month to kind of get through and get everything all ready. But now, since this was my first time with, like, a shorter schedule, since it's a monthly release, it's definitely, like, a hindsight of, like, okay, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to plan out, this is how I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. It's a first step to that, so... Hopefully, second time coming for holiday season, getting closer there, November, December, it'll be a little easier to kind of like pinpoint of what to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I imagine sophomore review is probably going to be over by then, right?
Or... Yes, yeah.
So if that's gone, then you'll probably have a little bit more time, I imagine.
Yeah, and like at the time of this recording, like, yeah, it's coming up Friday.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so I got... Luckily, I have everything. I'm not freaking out too much. This ain't my first rodeo. Mm-hmm. Not saying that I didn't fail it. I just did this back in high school, but it's like, I just wanted to get this over with, because, like, again, like, it threw a wrench in everything I wanted to do, everything I'm planning out and working on. I'm just like, okay, can I please get this over with so I can get back to what I want to do? Mm-hmm. It's like, ugh, I want to say some things, but I don't think I'm allowed to.
let's refrain from anything too vulgar.
Yeah, anything too, like... emotional coming out.
Yeah.
Because my mind, like, throughout the past few weeks, I've just been like, okay, I need to get this done. I need to get this done. I need to get this submitted. I'm kind of freaking out right now.
Yeah. That's...
And I'm hopped up all on coffee and caffeine. Mm.
Yeah, that's sometimes the only way to get through some of these days. It's just like, oh, I have to just gotta go get through it. Just gotta go. Yeah.
It's almost there. I'm almost there. I'm almost out of the woods. I got the first part, which was honestly the hardest part. Like actually presenting the stuff and like just talking about it, that's the easiest part, because I can do that. But just like compiling everything and writing out like my statement and whatnot, that was the only hardest part. Mm-hmm. So getting all that done, huge weight, completely off. So it's just like, I'm almost out of the woods. I can see the light in the distance. Mm-hmm. So finally get that. But going back to like the scheduling with Mule Skinner, it's like, it could be a little tough because depending on like what we're doing and like how to format it, it's tricky, of course, because what is it like? I think we only have like four weeks to get ready before print.
I think it would be about 4 weeks.
Roughly. There. Mm-hmm. But from what I've learned through like my classes and whatnot and like my process, I have a pretty solid process of what I do. So I do thumbnail, rough sketch, and then kind of like final sketch, and then final by then. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty lenient schedule to get through, and I get it done about right around time to get ready for print. So, I mean, it could be a little stressful depending on what the project is, but usually it's not really too much of a hassle.
Okay. So it is easy to, you end up being able to actually balance your time.
Yeah, somehow. I don't know how exactly, but... I manage it.
You manage?
I don't know if it's like some devil magic or like some like strings being pulled, like myself being the puppet, but I'm also controlling myself. I don't know.
It's working at least.
Yeah,
so.
It's working. I'm not complaining here.
I'm not complaining. It's working. Okay. So I know you had you mentioned to me before the show that you really like, and you have like the mascot shirt on as well. So that you like mascots a lot.
Oh. I absolutely love mascots. Don't even get me started. Because from where I was, at my high school, I went to Jeff City. We had a Red Jay Bird. His name is Jasper. Mm-hmm. I was a mascot for my freshman year. And just that, let me tell you, yeah, mascots are cool and all, but being in the suit?
Oh, right, yeah.
Absolutely miserable.
I'm sure.
Absolutely. It is hot. It is sweaty. You're being bombarded by a bunch of people. Mm. I remember the first time I put on the suit, it was for an assembly. Mm. I couldn't see where I was going because I was going up the aisles. It was in an auditorium. Mm-hmm. I fell face first. Oh. Luckily, the head was still on, but just, like, imagine, like, you were out in the audience. Mm-hmm. You're seeing this red, big Jaybird running out, and you just see it go, like, wham, on the floor.
That's so unfortunate.
It's so just absolutely ridiculous. But after that, I got wrapped back up, and I started running back again. Mm-hmm. It's like, you kind of, like, get in this mentality of mascots. It's like, be in character, and just go for it. But honestly, I've always loved mascots growing up, like Truman the Tiger of MU, Fred Bird of St. Louis, or Slugger for the Royals, and then Mo. Like, seeing Mo, I'm like, I always get so excited seeing, like, mascots like Mo, especially on the field, and it's like, I just want to hug them and say hi. It sounds weird, but just, like, that mentality of just loving mascots, it's awesome. And also, like, I'm making a web series or like a comic series, different stories, but one of them is like involving like different college mascots that I make. And like one of the characters or mascots that I have, I made back in 2013.
Oh, wow.
So they're over 10 years old right now. And the inspiration I got was, of course, Fred Bird and my high school mascot and all those that I've had, because he's a big old red Jaybird. His name is Biggie. But I don't know exactly how the story would go, but like he was definitely one of the big kind of like icons of how I want to lead this story, because he's like supposed to be kind of like this, like, I guess, motivational kind of like trophy going individual that wants to like win all the time, and then you got all these like rivaling mascots trying to get it before him, and like these types of mascots literally want to kill each other. Like, they are insane about this like championship, and it's like, it'll just be such a fun story that I want to try to write up and like try to get the setting in. But just like, it just goes to show how much I appreciate mascots, and like even like cereal mascots or like any type of mascots, like there's some I wish that we brought back, you know. Like there's some that what was it, like the, you know, the baker from the, what was it, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Like the baker guy, the old baker guy?
I don't remember that one, I don't think.
It was, I know it was before the actual, like, little
Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Because I only remember, like, the little cereal guys.
I loved the baker guy. He was just so cool. And it's like, it mixed with the brand so well. Or, like, the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yeah.
The Pillsbury Doughboy. I mean, he's still around, but I absolutely love him to death. I have a character I have, like, a little, it's also a little mascot character that I have that is similar, kind of similar to the Pillsbury Doughboy. So it just kind of like, a lot of my stuff kind of like stems from my love for mascots. And it's just, there's so much fun. And if I ever get the opportunity to like be a mascot here on campus, like Mo, I would absolutely just break down and just absolutely go all out, because I'll
take it.
Yeah, I would absolutely take it, like, no chances. I would take it and I would roll with it. I would absolutely love being that mascot, because ever since I did the mascot back in my high school, I just wanted to do it again, but this time much better, because I know, at least know what I'm doing and how to get my footing where I don't fall face first in front of thousands of people.
You learned your lesson.
I learned my lesson there on that day. But I want to do it again so badly. It's so much fun.
So is it more so like being in the suit, being like being physically active with with a bunch of people around, or is it more so like the designs of mascots that appeal to you?
It's both. Like, just the designs, like just how creative some people can get.
Okay.
It's just awesome. Like, just seeing just how crazy some people go with like some of these mascots. Like, especially like talking about like college mascots, like the Syracuse Orange, literally just an orange ball with a hat and all that. Or like the, I think one of the scariest ones, but it's still so interesting, is the one for, what is it, Stanford? They're literally a tree.
It's a tree?
Yeah, it's literally a tree. It is so freaky looking. But I gotta look this up because this thing is absolutely hideous.
Is it?
So, let me pull this up. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, just like, look at this thing. It's so ridiculous.
That is really funny. But yeah, I think that that kind of does show like how much creativity it needs to go. Because I mean, like, mascots need to both be very simplistic, mm-hmm. but then also be very clear what they convey.
Yeah.
So it's there's a certain balance there that you really need to achieve. Like, for example, for like the cereal mascots and stuff, they all have very pretty kind of basic color schemes, but they're very identifiable.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And of course, my favorite, my baby girl, Toucan Sam. Toucan Sam, he is my heart and he is my soul. He is my sweet cheese. I mean, Tony's there. He's cool. But honestly, nothing could beat Toucan Sam. You always got to follow your nose. And, but yeah, and also, again, like, also just kind of like being in the suit and acting as the mascot. Mm-hmm. It's a whole entire different experience to be there.
Right. Because,
like, they don't, like, people don't know it's you. Like, they see you as...
Because you are
as the mascot. Character. As the character. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, being able to, like, perform. It's so exciting. Because I've done performance before. I've been in plays back in middle school. Mm-hmm. And, like, during, like, summer at some point. And being able to, like, portray a character without having to be yourself. Mm-hmm. It's such a rejuvenating experience because you get to take a break from, like, yourself and, like, your own stuff. And you're just like, you know what? I'm going to have some fun with this. I'm just going to go all out. It's so much fun.
Because, yeah, there is that. It's definitely a different kind of performance as opposed to, like a stage play or a film or something like that.
Yeah, because pretty much with, like, a mascot, it's all improv. It's pretty much all improv. Mm-hmm. And you can't speak.
Nope.
Yeah, you cannot speak. You'll give the imagination away. Mm-hmm. And it's just all improv and, like...
it's pretty much just all body movements.
Yeah, pretty much. So, all body movements. Of course, you got to know where you are so you don't accidentally whack somebody.
Especially, obviously.
Yeah. I almost did that once, too. Ooh. Luckily...
We put that in.
Yeah, luckily it was just... I just missed them, but it was... it's funny to think about now, but I'm like... I remember kind of like in my head, I'm like, oh, did I hit somebody? Mm. But, like, getting the opportunity to, like, be in the suit and, like, taking pictures of people or taking pictures with people kind of, like, hanging out and then seeing the pictures back. And it's like, that's me. That's me. Look at me. It's so cool because, like, you get to have this opportunity to, like, just kind of, like, go silly mode, honestly. Mm-hmm. It's like I would go, like, hours and hours just talking about mascots and how much just kind of, like, performing of being one and just going into the character. But we only got so much time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like you're incredibly passionate about this.
And absolutely.
I think that's very cool that there is such a huge passion for something like this. Because it's very interesting to see kind of the relation between like the mascot and the brand and then the people who interact with like a mascot. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see that dynamic.
Yeah. And I wish that more companies kind of like went back to more like that mascot age, especially kind of like, what was it, like the 80s, 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, there's a lot of, like,
we need
a
to
ton
go,
of stuff
Yeah,
there.
We need to go back to that. It was so much fun. Like, you had all these, like, crazy, like, characters.
Yeah.
Like, because I know definitely sports teams, like, still have the mascots, and they still, like, show them out a lot.
Obviously.
And they're awesome. Mm-hmm. But, like, we need to go back into, like, that era of, like, have the mascots, like, be the face of, like, something and, like, just having fun with it. Instead of being all, like, this kind of, like, boring, like, kids show, like, gloom, doom, like, corporate enterprise.
Well, yeah, because literally every corporation is using, like, the same font, the same exact design for their logos. They all it's like a homogenous mess of a thing that they all look so similar.
Like, are they trying to, like, be more, like, professional with it?
I mean, like, for a lot of things, it doesn't really make sense. Like, especially for, like, you notice this in, like, food as well. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of food manufacturers are, like, simplifying their logos, making them less appealing, less fun. It's like, well...
It's like...
Why?
Yeah, it's like, honestly, yeah, like, why? Like, go back to having fun. Just have fun with it. Like, be your own self, you know? Mm-hmm. That's what I mean, because as an artist, like, I'm trying to be my own self. There's other artists that are trying to be their own self. Why not like businesses be their own self? They did that back in the 90s or like 2000s. Go back to that. Have fun with it. Like, yeah. there's no problem with that. Who's gonna like be upset about that? Who's gonna be upset about mascots?
Yeah, you would think people wouldn't be, but I guess corporations are really scared of it. Yeah. So
they're too scared of having fun.
Maybe
they're like, we need to be professional about this. We need to be absolutely adult. Only adult manners here. Only business talk.
Mm-hmm. So is that something you might want to do like as a job after college, like be a professional, like either person in the costume or like a professional designer for mascots?
That would be a fun like side thing to do, like like if I ever get the opportunity to. But like I definitely want to be kind of like go into like the illustration or like print side.
Okay.
Like either do like stuff for like magazines, newspapers, mm-hmm. or even just like make my own stuff, you know, mm-hmm. or even work in a print shop. Print shop is something like that because I've been there's a class I'm in. I absolutely recommend this if you need like an elective or if you're in art or something like that. Go into printmaking. Okay. Go into printmaking. It is absolutely incredible because it's like very hands-on and like you learn all these different press types and like how to print. Mm-hmm. It's such a fun experience. I absolutely recommend it like for anybody. Even if you don't know or like you're not very good at like drawing or something like that, mm-hmm. getting like that's a really good step to like learning how to like do something very manual as like mm-hmm. that. It's so much fun. I absolutely recommend that for mm-hmm. anybody.
Yeah, I'll have to keep that one in mind for when I'm looking at schedules and stuff in the future.
Of course.
So yeah, kind of focusing on that. That like specifically, you want to go into like print illustration. It mm-hmm. sounds like
something like that, or try to make my own like little small business and whatnot. Uh-huh. Smell artwork. I mean, I sometimes do that. Smell the print, like hot off the press.
Probably has a decent smell.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's a technique, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a way.
But yeah,
to sell my prints and whatnot, mm-hmm. which I'm gonna try to do at some point. Hopefully here soon, whenever I get time to do it.
Yeah,
because I would absolutely love to do that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just like definitely go into like the more illustrative print side of things.
Okay,
and yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for more after this break. Voices of UCM is sponsored by Rise Community Services.
Every minute, there are 6 children born in the U.S., and one of them will be born with a developmental disability. Rise Community Services believes that an individual's potential doesn't vanish simply because they were born with a unique set of challenges. We believe that each person deserves a life full of hope and empowered by self-choice. If you or a loved one need help, please visit watchusrise.org.
Oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Today, we sat down with Nathaniel Solens, a studio art major who also does illustrations for the Meal Skinner. We finish our talk by discussing Nathaniel's plans for the future and their thoughts on art as a medium for human expression.
And you were talking about how you have like that web series / like web comic, and it sounded like that was like only one of your ideas. Mm-hmm. I guess what are some other ideas you have for that? Because that could also be a potential a potential future road if one of those ends up taking off.
Right. One is based in like a cafe bakery. Uh-huh. Like it's a kind of like a new business that they set up and they're trying to keep it afloat and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so you got like these other people that are trying to like bring it down, or like this one person mm-hmm. that keeps like trying to get it shut down or like uh-huh. try to take over it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like this story of like trying to keep going and trying to like have your own like identity and get yourself out there mm-hmm. and whatnot. It's kind of like a journey like that. That's just a rough idea.
Right,
of it.
Yeah.
And the other one is more a classical story of like this trio trying to stop this like corrupted like individual from destroying like the entirety of the world that they know of. Uh-huh. And it's kind of like more of like a classic kind of like action or like
Kind of like an action adventure fantasy style thing.
Not too fantasy. It's more kind of like grounded.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely more like an adventurous action type. Mm-hmm. And hopefully when I ever get the time to get around to that, I am very excited to like show that, and hopefully people will get the time to kind of like read it and like get to know the characters and the setting, because nothing is better than, to me at least, is when someone reads it and they absolutely love it, or they recognize the characters, they relate to the characters, because I absolutely love that feeling of like, it's like, he's just like me, or she's just like me, or like they're just like me, and it's like hearing that, or like seeing them like make like fan work of it, it's so rejuvenating, and like just, it's very humbling to see that, and it's like, I want to make something that makes people like very happy, or like relatable to them, and like have these characters relate to them and whatnot, and it's like something that people are familiar with,
right? Because that's kind of the, I think that is the core of art in general, is just making things relatable, whether it is it's like making people feel certain things, whether it's like fear for like horror, or happiness and other contexts, but it's really about relating to your fellow man.
And it's like, it's kind of, it's like that, kind of like a, it's a story that, or like stories, or like just like an environment that people can see themselves in. And that's it, that's what makes kind of like art illustration like so unique, is that it's something that you feel like you could be a part of, and like like I think anybody can draw like a pencil onto paper. I think anybody can at any level. Like even if you could draw a stick person, like you're still drawing.
You're still drawing something that is,
it's a first step.
And even at such a, I'll say simple level, I think that's a good way to describe it. It still conveys something very human at the end of the day. And that's kind of what is so interesting about art, is that literally for any art field, like sculpture, film, music, traditional drawing, really you can enter it at any time and still get things out of it, even if you're not necessarily good at it.
And it's like, hey, when I started, I was absolutely horrible. Like earlier I said, when I first got my iPad from school and I got that drawing app, and it was absolutely rancid. It was horrible. Even though I have the image, still say it, because it was because it's my first drawing.
It's important,
on an iPad. Yeah, it's a first step. And like, I look back at that drawing to like what I am now, and I'm like, I made that jump. I made this, and I have developed this far into this. Because I remember my mom, like, she doesn't really, I remember when she first started, she was like, or even before, she was like, oh, I can't draw, or I can't paint. And then like years later, like, she's an amazing paint. Like, she does amazing paintings of like these landscapes. And it's like, look what you did. Looks like, look what you have developed up so far. And I always have that kind of like motivation for people who are ever interested into kind of like going into like art and like drawing, painting, sculpting, whatnot. It's like, you definitely have it. You just gotta give yourself time. Just give yourself time. Give yourself patience. It's not gonna come to you like in a day. It's gonna take time. Like for me, it pretty much took all like 20-21 years to get here. And so like, but if you wanna like go into it, like if you're like 5-70 years old, you can always start now.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, like, you can just start at any point, is the beauty of art, because at the end of the day, it's an expression of yourself, no matter how simple or rudimentary like the drawing might be. It's still an expression of yourself that you put onto the page. And I think a lot of people don't think about it that way. And it's like, even if it's not up to whatever impossible standard you have it at, it can still be very high quality depending on who you show it to as well.
It's a very kind of like, it's a very human experience, because it's like a human craft, like a human made this, and they're sharing it to other humans, being like, hey, I made this. And it's just like that, you get that connection. Like, it doesn't, like what you said, like, it doesn't matter what level you're at. Like, if you made something, like, you should be proud of like what you made, even if it's like something like a stick figure or something like that. Like, get it for example, like, kids, like in elementary school or something like that, when they draw on a piece of paper, it's like they want to show you that, because they made it. They're very proud of that work. It's like, Like, more people should be like that. It doesn't matter what level you are. Like, be proud of your work. Mm-hmm. Like, look what you've made. Like, this is a step for you. Like, this is like, you put your heart and soul into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find even at like my level, like where I feel like way better about my work than I did like, I don't know, like 5-6 years ago mm-hmm. when I first started, I'm still kind of having a hard time sometimes feeling confident about my work at points, because it's like, I don't know if this is good or not. Mm-hmm. But it's mostly just in my head thinking, this isn't great because it doesn't hold up to my impossible standards.
Right.
And I think it's kind of hard to get past that at a certain point.
And I absolutely don't like blame you for that, because I had that too. Mm-hmm. And like kind of like that mentality of, man, am I ever going to be like good enough with this? Or like, am I ever going to make it out this? Because like, because sometimes you get kind of like stuck comparing yourself to other artists and whatnot.
That's really the biggest pitfall. Yeah,
that's the biggest pitfall. That is such a huge trap. And my thing is like, don't compare yourself to other artists' levels. See what you can build off from that, and how you can like try to like use it as like a source of like inspiration to like keep yourself going, and see what you can kind of like develop and like what you can do to like heighten your skills and whatnot. And like seeing somebody develop and like seeing how much they progressed, it's so much better than someone who just like completely just try once and then never do it again. Because people love seeing progression.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sure. They love it. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Trust me. Please. Keep doing art.
Yeah. I think that's a great place to leave off right there.
All
right,
I
think that's a fantastic ending bit. So I really appreciate you coming on,
Nate. Of course.
Nate.
It was great. It was awesome. It was such a great time being here. Am I able to like kind of like give kind of like my sources or like where I'm at, if anybody's interested, perhaps, maybe?
For like, see your art and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go ahead and self-promote a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I mean, because I'm so special like that. but yeah, no, like, if you are interested in like seeing more of my artwork, or like if I ever get around to like making my webcomic series and whatnot, you can always reach me out. I am at Pixelbird, so that's PIXELBURD on Instagram, Twitter/X, or on pretty much any platform that I make, such as that I'm on, it'll just be that username. So that is PIXELBURD, aka Pixelbird.
All right, perfect.
All right, it was awesome being here. So I'm going to miss this. It was a great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This has been Voices of UCM, sponsored by Rise Community Services. Be sure to tune in next week at 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Saturday. You can listen to the show at ucmbeat.com on either the live feed or at any time by going to the Shows tab and finding the Voices of UCM tab. Once again, I'm your host Andrew Zellner, and we'll talk next time on Voices of UCM.
Did you know that the University of Central Missouri has been leading innovation for nearly 150 years? With more accreditations and more qualified faculty members, our commitment to academic success is unparalleled. And we make sure every student receives the support they need to graduate on time and with less debt. So whatever opportunity you're looking for, make your impact sooner at UCM, with campuses located in Warrensburg, Lee's Summit, and online. Find out more about UCM and the power of opportunity in action at ucmo.edu.